Well, today we are going into the Hall of Fame. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews in the 11th chapter. We're going to the Hall of Faith, excuse me, because we're going to be talking about those who've gone before us and the reality of faith and just how important it is and how these people truly blessed us in their lives and show us a reality. Okay? They show us a reality. We're going to be in the 11th chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 32. And because I could read this whole chapter, and we're going to actually talk about some of the people in this entire chapter. But what I want us to look at here is these last several verses as the chapter ends, or just before it ends, from verses 32 through 34. Or 35, excuse me. And the Lord tells us in His Word, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, to shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection." May the Lord bless this word to our lives and our immortal souls. In Jesus' name, amen. This book, the book of Hebrews, is a very powerful book. Because when we think about all of the different epistles that are in the New Testament, this one addresses not Gentile believers, but Hebrew believers. This book addresses those people who knew Torah, who knew Mishnah, okay? And that's their holy book, all right? And they understood from one perspective, from the teaching of the rabbis, the realities within those books, because some of it was overlooked as years went by and people grabbed power. But we need to look back and see the faith of the people who were there and realize that as He is speaking to these Hebrew people, He's drawing them back to their roots, to their remembrance, that these things are real and that these people live by faith. And it is by faith that we live in Christ Jesus. Amen? It is by faith that we find salvation. No other way. But by faith. But I want to look at some of these individuals. I want us to think about some of the realities that are here before us, and I want to jot down a few things on the whiteboard out here. Now, for those who are listening to us today, it's going to be kind of hard for you, but that's all right. Just listen to what I'm saying, and you'll get the gist of what's going on. When we think about the people that we look at in the Hall of Faith, and if you turn back and begin to look at Hebrews, you'll begin to see some of them. You know, it talks about Noah, it talks about Enoch, it talks about Abraham, it talks about Moses, it talks about Sarah, okay? I want you to think about some of these people because we're going to write on this whiteboard up here, and God forgive me, I know when I get to heaven I'm going to have to apologize to these men and women because I'm going to play in church devil's advocate, all right? I want you to think about Moses. I like to use Moses because I'm told I look like him. I have no idea what that man looked like. He was a Hebrew. I'm Dutch, okay? Actually, my ancestry is Viking. So, you know, I have no idea. I just have white hair, and y'all think I look like Charlton Heston on the movie screen, right? Because of the waved back hair. Now everybody listening to us is thinking, what's this guy look like? I ain't Purdy. But I want you to think about Moses. What were his strengths? What were his strengths? I'm talking to you. Yes, I want you to respond. What were his strengths?
Courage.
What was that? Obedience. Faith. Very good. What were his strengths? Leadership. Hope. now. What was his weakness? You see, when we read the book of Hebrews and we start seeing all these people of faith, we put them up there and we say, oh my goodness, they had faith that could move a mountain. They had faith to go into the face of God. They had faith, they had faith, they had faith. I want you to realize something else. They were just like you and me. Because you see, when I look at Moses, I have to remember one very, very real and important thing. Moses was, well, let me write it down. Now, if you can read that, what's it say? Moses was horrible at anger management. From the time he started, what did he do? He got mad. Got mad. Killed an Egyptian. Then they were out in Mount Sinai, and he went up and saw God and got all the glory and everything else, and he came down off that mountain, and what happened? He got mad. And he threw the rocks, right? He threw the tablets, right, and broke them. Right? Yep, one other time. The people were wanting water. Oh, you brought us out here in this desert to die. Oh, we should stay back there in Egypt. And rather than striking the rock once in the name of the Lord, he beat it. Whack, whack. You stiff-necked people. Moses had horrible anger management problems. But it was out of that anger management that I want you to see something, because this is where faith comes in. When we begin to walk in faith where we are as our human selves, God turns whatever we have 180 degrees. Because Moses' anger management turned into one of the greatest loves you will ever know. Because he loved a nation so much that he literally stood before God and said, no, God, if you're angry with these people, take me out, but don't take them out. He interceded for a people because God said, hey, I'll turn you into a nation. And he said, no, no, Lord, no, no. And here he was dealing with people that made him do some horrible things and really ticked him off, you know. I wonder why he got gray hair. And you're all laughing, oh my goodness. Because he was dealing with stiff-necked people, right? All the stress and everything else. You don't need to look into the face of God to do that. Just look at people. You'll turn gray in a minute. We frustrate ourselves, don't we? We frustrate one another. But by faith, he took a man who had serious anger management problems and turned it around and turned him into a man with some of the greatest love outpoured. And that because of faith, because he believed God, and God transformed his anger into love. Now, let's talk about David. Let's talk about David. What were David's strengths? What were David's strengths? Love of God, faith in God. What were David's strengths? Bob, he wasn't scared of anything. As a boy, tending the sheep, he killed the bear and killed the lion, killed the wolf, right? And he did that with a sling and a club. How many of us would go out there after a lion like that, right? Well, you see, one of the things that we don't realize is when we start looking at those things, what was David's fault? What was his weakness? And that was part of it, okay? That is a symptom of. That is a symptom of. You see, I think it's kind of neat. When we start looking at the reality of who we are, don't list the symptoms. And we all have many symptoms. We need to list the root cause. And David's root cause, boom, somebody said it, pride. David was prideful. He was self-centered. Okay? That's why he looked after Bathsheba. That's why he put Uzziah on the front line to be killed, because he was looking out for number one. And every time he did, he failed. But when he put God first, when he was in front of Goliath, What did he do? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to defeat that guy. No, he said, the Lord goes before us. The battle is the Lord's. And this little dude, 14 to 15 years old, goes out and picks up five stones out of the brook and a sling and goes out there and kills a 10-foot tall man who's trained in battle. So when we look at it, we have to understand that David was self-centered. Don't you love the way I write? That's why I type everything. Self-centered. But God turned that around, and he became God-centered. When he would walk in faith, his entire desire was to please God. Because when his sin was found out, when Nathan came to him, and he spoke to David and said to David, and this is Pastor Rich's paraphrase, there's a shepherd out there who stole a sheep. It was the only sheep this other shepherd had. And then he killed the shepherd. David was outraged. He said, well, you'll pay him back 100%. You'll pay him back. And Nathan said, it is you, my king. And David fell on his face before God, because he realized he had sinned. And when we look at what he did for the kingdom, he brought peace to the kingdom. David fought war after war after war. Remember, that's why God wouldn't let him build the temple, because he was a man of war, not a man of peace. But we all need to realize something. Peace doesn't come through politics. Peace comes through soldiers giving their lives. And that's what David did. And because he shed so much blood, God could not allow him to build the temple. But he allowed him to do something else. He allowed him to grow the kingdom. And he pushed back the enemies of God, so that when his son took his place, they had peace. So God took him from a self-centered man and made him a God-centered man, that he gave everything to win the peace of God. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? How about Gideon? What was Gideon's strength? What was Gideon's strength? We all know the story of Gideon. Come on, you folks. Anybody need a cup of coffee here? What was Gideon's strength? All right, let's skip to the chase. What was Gideon's weakness? Doubt. That's good. That is good. And that's exactly it. Gideon doubted. Gideon doubted God. Gideon doubted himself. Where was he found? He was found hiding. He was found hiding on a threshing floor. He was hiding down there, you know, threshing out the wheat. Didn't want to be found. He was hiding. All right? And God found him, okay? Here's this guy who's full of doubt and fear, because the reality is fear breeds doubt, okay? So here's this guy who is fearful, completely and totally fearful. How many of us walk in fear? How many of us walk in fear? I think many of us walk in fear. We just don't want to admit it because we're scared. Am I lying? No, I'm not. I walk in fear all the time. Do you think it's easy for me to get up in front of a group of people and talk? I wasn't groomed to be this man from a little kid. The Lord transformed me, all right? If I bring in here, my one sister-in-law knew me. She grew up with me. We went to school together. I hate it because she knows all my old secrets. And she always says to me, I know where Richie Dubs came from. Because she knows who I was. I was a nerd, a very self-centered, secretive nerd, okay? I was the guy that wore nylon pants, you know? And then from there, I became an egotist. And then from there, God grabbed my heart. But I walked in fear that I'd be found out. Where do I walk now? Where did Gideon walk when God got a hold of him and transformed his life? God turned him around because faith turns us to the opposite spectrum of what we are in ourselves, in our natural being. God took a man who was so fearful and filled with doubt and made him courageous to the point where he took 300 men and routed an army of 100,000. That's faith. When we bring our stuff to God, look what we're bringing, okay? Look what we're bringing. How about Jonah? How about Jonah? Let's talk about Jonah for just a moment. What was Jonah's weakness? Disobedience. Disobedience. And when we think about disobedience, what is disobedience? It's rebellion. Thank you, Whitey. When we think about disobedience, it is truly two L's or one. That still doesn't look right, but nobody else is seeing it but you folks. Rebellion. And what did Noah become when he walked in faith? When he finally, you know, think about it. Here he is in rebellion, he's running away from God, and he gets sucked up by a great fish. Now notice it doesn't say a whale, all right? Notice it doesn't say a whale, a great fish, all right? He got sucked up by a great fish, and then he got spit up. I think that's kind of neat, you know. He got vomited out. Let's look at that for the reality of what it says. He got vomited out onto the beach. All right? How many of us walk in rebellion in such a way? Because, you know, this is the Church of Laodicea. Okay, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm, and I'm about to spit you out. It doesn't say spit you out. They just tamed it down. He's going to spew you out. He's going to vomit you out. All right? When we walk in rebellion to God and we turn to God in faith, all right? And remember, this is why we call it reformed religion, because we are reformed. We are turned. That's what it means to turn. God turns rebellion into what? Obedience. And Jonah walked in obedience, and he saw the worst city of all the cities in the world at that time, Nineveh, the capital of Babylon, okay, of the area there, all right? Think about this. The worst nation in the world saw a prophet who was spit up by a great fish. You know, he reeked. And he walks into town. Now, remember, these are pagan people. They have their own gods. And he starts telling them about the God of Israel. And if you don't repent, you know, God's going to destroy you. Well, if you walk into a pagan, wouldn't you expect to be killed? Well, who are you? And when they looked upon him and heard the words coming out of his mouth and saw that he stinketh, and please remember, when he was spit up, he was white as a ghost, all right, because of the digestive juices. So he was pretty gross looking when he got there. I want you to think about that. So when he went there, he was kind of stark. And these people were looking at him like, what is going on with this dude? And the king feared for not only his life, but for the life of his nation. And the entire nation turned. You see, that's what faith does. One man's faith turned a nation. Now, unfortunately, it didn't last forever. It only lasted about 200 years. And then Nineveh was finally destroyed. But we need to remember this. People who walked in great faith suffered from anger management, self-centeredness, fear, rebellion. And if I kept going down the list of those people who are in the hall of faith, do you know how many more things we could add to this list? Why am I telling you all this? Because you need to hear the truth of faith. And the truth of faith is the reality that God loves you so much that he knows you're a mess up. He knows you are so messed up that you can't help yourself. But he loves you so unconditionally that He is willing to reach into your life and show you from His perspective who you were really created to be. Because sin has entered in and turned us. God says, if you turn to me, I'll show you what I was really working at in the creation. Because God reimages us through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I need to understand that each of these men, through faith, were restored to the image that was given to us. Adam and Eve walked for a very short period of time in the true innocence and faith of God. What would we be as children of Adam and Eve had there not been any sin in our world? Do you realize what our world would look like? It would be a perfect community. There would be absolute harmony among all peoples. There would be peace on earth. There'd never be a war. There would never be a killing. There would never be jealousness. We wouldn't have anybody out there screaming and running down the road. You know, you drive down the road, I've had people pull up beside me. I have no idea what I did, but I'm number one in their book. And it's so amazing to me what faith will do in our lives if we yield ourselves to faith. These men yielded themselves to faith, and they did wonderful things. And I want you to hear a reality that you really need to grab a hold of. And I don't think any of us really do. Jesus walked this earth. He was and is the perfect man. He is the God-man. He is God. And He said to the disciples, and He says yet today to us through His word, living and unchanging, far greater things than I have done will you do. He was talking to you, Riley. He was talking to you, Jacob. He was talking to you, Miss Faye. He was talking to you, Dan. Yeah. Ma, He was talking to you. You still got time. That clock ain't stopped yet. He was talking to each and every one of us. And until our dying breath, God can do the miraculous, just as He did with these people, through each and every one of us, if we will yet yield to Him and turn from our ways and pick up the faith that He has given us through the power of who? The Holy Spirit. And walk in such a way as these men walked, in obedience, in love towards God. You know, we think, well, we got to be walking in obedience to one another. No, you don't. You walk in obedience to God, and you will be in obedience to one another. You cannot not do the other. If you are walking in obedience to God, you cannot do anything but good. And that's where these men walk. They took the highway of life. In fact, we read about that in our scriptures. It says there is a highway, and only the saved walk there. And that's where we need to put ourselves, on the highway of life, and realize that God has something for us to do. God has people out there for us to come in contact with. He has nations out there for us to change. All right? Now you might think, oh yeah, but all the big things are done. Are they? Really? Look at our nation. Look at the world in a whole. All you have to do is turn on the news and you see the darkness is ever encroaching. We've got to take the blinders off and begin to see things through the biblical worldview that God has given us. Begin to see things through His glasses. Begin to realize that He has called you by name, and not for yourself, but for Him, to be used in this world to change people's lives. Why do you think I stand up here and talk to you? I'm not that good looking. And I really have very few other skills, right? No, I was a machinist, and a pretty darn good one. But God called me out of myself and into Him. And for that reason, I'll pour out myself as a drink offering unto every person that comes to this church and all of those that I meet in this world. Do you realize this week, this is not a joke, this is Christmas week, This week, I changed this sermon because of what happened to me this week. The number of phone calls that I had, the number of people that I ran into who just had no idea what was going on, who were broken. And all they would tell me, every one of them, all they did was bring up all their shortcomings and the fact that they don't deserve the good things of life. That's a lie of the evil one. That is Satan's lie straight out of hell, because God says, I love you. I want you to remember something. When Jesus went to the cross, okay, what did I just say? He went to the cross. They didn't take him. He was God. He could have stopped it in a breath. He went to the cross. He placed himself upon the cross. Yes, they nailed him to it, but only because he let them. He did that for us. From that cross, with outstretched arms, he didn't say, get them, Dad. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in those words, eternity opened up for every one of us who will live by faith and not by sight. These men understood it, and they were before the cross. We're after the cross. We have no excuse. But hear this. I don't want you to go away feeling beat up. I want you to go away feeling revived, because the unconditional love of God is here to meet you this day. Right now, wherever you are, with all the self-doubt, with all the self-loathing, with all the junk that you can bring, God will brush it aside and see the you that he created you to be from the beginning of the world, as you turn to his Son and accept upon yourself his stamp, his image, the reality of God in your life. Are you willing and wanting this day, this Christmastide, to truly receive the gift that you were meant to be given on Christmas Day, that you may walk in that reality today, because today is Christmas. Today is Christmas. Now is Christmas. Jesus says, now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of healing. Now is the moment of rejoicing. Brothers and sisters, are you willing? Are you ready? Are you wanting to receive the glory of Jesus Christ? Because if you are, then I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to pray with me today, because we have a God who's right here, right now, wanting, willing, and able to bring the light into your life and cast out every ounce of darkness and bring the peace, the love, the hope, and the joy that will transform you into men and women of faith who, no matter what comes before them, will stand the test, will defeat the evil one, and will win the kingdom to Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we just bring ourselves to you today, understanding that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and through you we must come to receive the salvation of our souls, to be transformed in our inner being, to be given the image of God. For it is in that transformation, Lord, that we are brought back to that right position, that we may walk by faith and be men and women who are bold, wanting and willing to go into this world and to bring peace, love, hope, and joy, unconditional love, Lord, a love that the world doesn't know. There is so much fear abounding that, Father, take it out of our lives, that we would not want to threaten someone down, but that we would bring love and hope and peace, that every person may know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that it's Christmas today, every day, when someone comes to the Christ child. The candle burns ever brighter and never goes out. Oh, gracious Lord, bless this your people this day. As we come into Christmastide, let us not forget that we, the church, are living in the season of Christmas. Christ has come. Christ is coming again. And he who comes will not falter. For it is unto he who is faithful we bring our prayers. Jesus, the Redeemer of our souls, and all God's children said.
Amen.
And amen.